When I was a senior in college, everybody would always say, where are you going to preach and what church you got? Are you going to start a church, whatever? And as soon as I would tell my professors and the kids in my classes that I'm going to the Northeast, every one of them said the same thing. That's the graveyard of preachers. Nobody goes to the Northeast. But you know what? We'll take the dead in the ground and raise them. And those Christians that are dead in Christ, we're going to raise you from the dead. This is a powerful church because it lets go the Holy Ghost to do whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. Amen. Aren't you glad you're here? I'm glad I'm here. I thought I had another Sunday off. Got real close. Got real, real close. We experienced something a couple of Wednesdays ago when the Holy Ghost came on Paulie. And my wife and I looked at each other. Every seat in this auditorium was empty. Everyone was at the altar. Except for one lady in a wheelchair. I was going to get her and the Holy Spirit to leave her alone. And before you know it, she's wheeling up to the front and sitting right there. We are living in perilous times. The world has no answers. We use a lot of Rick Renner's material. This is one of his books, and it's in my library. It's called The Paid Full, an in-depth look at the defining moments of Christ's passion. Everyone should get this book, put it in your library, because you won't get two pages before you start crying. A lot of times we don't realize what Christ has done for us. This week the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, my kids don't know what forgiveness is because they don't understand how Christ forgave them. No, we don't know how to forgive because we don't really know all that Jesus Christ went through to die for you and I and give us freedom. Amen? So can I read you just a couple of chapter titles? Thank you so much. Jesus' final words, wounds of betrayal, agony of the soul, divine assistance. How many soldiers does it take to arrest one man? That's a good one. Kiss of deception. Oh, that's a good one. Test of loyalty, test of love. Jesus died for you and I. We were not, how can I say, we weren't there, but we were very much there. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, there's a song that says that we were on his mind. Can I tell you something? Paul was on his mind. Amen? The only way out of getting his kids back was to do exactly what he did. Can I give you a couple more? Oh, I'm glad you can let me do that. Amen? Who was the naked boy in the Garden of Gethsemane? A young man who was in the grave. And when Jesus spoke, he came out with his grave clothes on. Amen? And it wasn't only that young man. There were other folks popped out of the grave. This is before he died and went to the... Oh, my. So what's impossible for God? Absolutely nothing. Amen? How many of you are here and you have some issues with your health? Raise your hand. All right. Well, this is your day and this is your hour to be touched by the power of God. I don't need to come to you. You don't need to come here. I'm telling you right now, lift your hand wherever you are. I thank you, Jesus, for your healing power at work right now. I thank you and praise you. I speak health and life and well-being. I speak to the bones in our body to be healed and be normal. I thank you for the blood flow in your body to be normal. I speak that person has a problem with their kidneys. Someone is trying to conceive and you've had difficulties. That changes right now. There's nothing, say this with me, there's nothing impossible with God. All you have to do is believe. Don't change the foundation of God's word. Amen? Do not change the foundation of God's word. This world has nothing. That's why Jesus and the word are being pushed out, because that's the answer that would solve every problem. But I got news for you. The Bible says, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. We're getting closer and closer and closer than you could possibly believe and understand. This revival that's spreading across the United States and the colleges, and it's spreading around the world, will be the last revival. Because it doesn't come from a church, doesn't come out of an evangelist. It comes as the Holy Ghost decides to make a move. The Bible's very plain. It says this, at the time appointed, God sent his only begotten son. This is the appointed time to open the floodgates for the church to receive Christ and for the lost to receive Christ. Amen? Now, you know me. If I see somebody, they're not going to get by me without me touching them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Anywhere, anyhow, all I got to hear is one little word. If you don't open your mouth, you have a good chance of getting by me. I'm so hungry to see the lost and their lives given to Christ. Amen? Amen. Can I give you a couple more titles? Because I'm going to talk for a few minutes about one of them. Fair enough? Listen. Pilate looks at a loophole. Herod meets Jesus. Charged but not guilty. The horror of a Roman scourging. If you would pick up that chapter when you get this book, you will put it down and begin to weep. Because you will see, as I have seen so many years, that what took place at the scourging post was beyond human recognition. It was beyond anybody's mindset. It was something that was so, so brutal as they spread a person on a post and stretched his body out and then began to literally whip that young man or whoever it was until they bled, until their flesh was hanging on the ground. Every time Jesus went from this person, they scourged him again. It was the worst thing. And that was before the cross of Calvary. Most people died at the scourging post. They never got them to a cross. They weren't alive. Jesus experienced the scourging post. And yet he died on the old rugged cross. And one of the phrases, one of the words he says, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." I'll tell you what. The only thing that held Jesus on the cross was love. The only thing that will hold you and I in a relationship with God and others around us is we love. Go like this. All the people you have a problem with ends right here. The people that you have problems with in your life, it ends right here. I don't want to hear you don't know what they did to me. That's not worth anything. It needs to go. It needs to go right now. It's holding you up. It's holding you captive. And that needs to change right now. Someone's been saying, "I really would like to see a move of God in my life." Then you got to let go and forgive. That's holding everything back. Who do we think we are to not forgive somebody when Jesus forgave us? Now, I know none of you remember your past. Am I correct? Because God doesn't have any sin consciousness of us, and I don't have any. But every once in a while, we look over our shoulder and see something. Yeah, I remember what they did. Drop it. The Bible says plainly, before you take communion, if you have aught against somebody, drop it. Say, "I will forgive that person or persons, and I won't keep track anymore, because God doesn't keep track of my past. It's gone." Say, "It's gone." Gone. Try it again. It's gone. The enemy is going to try to bring anything into your sight, into your vision, to cause you to stumble and fall. And unforgiveness is huge in the life of a believer. There's no room for it. Can I give you one more? All right, we're going to talk about this one a little bit. Here we go. It is finished. What did Jesus mean when he said it was finished? Fair enough? Now I'm going to give you four words for the word finished. I don't want to take too much more time, but I want to get this into your spirit, man. Let me read this scripture verse first. I start every week with it. Psalm 119, 129, the Message Bible. "Every word you give me is a miracle word. How could I help but obey? Break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the very meaning." Amen? Now, let me give you a definition of what the word forgive means, all right? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's Luke 23, 34. Listen to what the word forgive means. That's going to help every one of us here today. Listen closely. It's from a Greek word that means to release. Release. Say release. Release. Go a little further. As in releasing a prisoner or setting someone free from an act they have carried out. Forgive is a huge word. I wonder if Jesus did not forgive that soldier and those at the base of the cross, would his forgiveness have worked right? Because hanging on the cross was love. Listen, he was love before he died. He's love today. God is love. You have to forgive. You have to drop that conversation, those acts of evil somebody's done to you. He wants to work and be a stick of dynamite on the inside of you. So every footstep you take, you're an explosive young man, an explosive young woman to change the world. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. I'm telling you, God's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. Now, I have never been crucified, but I've been crucified by words more than you'd like to know. My wife's been crucified by words more than you would know. But we learned how to do is this. If we don't forgive, then we can't go any farther pastoring this church. How many of you have been struggling for years over forgiving somebody? Needs to stop now. Needs to stop now. It's sucking the life out of you. It has to go. It has to go. Honey, I'm speaking to the hurt you still feel in your life. It's going to go right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You won't remember it anymore. And next time you see them, you're going to be free from it. Who else is struggling from something years ago? Put your hand up. Yes. We prayed with you last week, did we not? I look out my window all the time when folks come into church, and I saw your kids and you running. I said, is that who I think it is? God has set you free. Somebody, one of the ushers said, wasn't she up here before for prayer? She can come up as often as she wants, as many times as she wants to. Didn't we baptize them last month? They can get baptized as many times as they want to. Don't try to keep track of that kind of stuff until they get it. Once you get it, you got it. You got it. I wish I had a camera to take a picture of your family running, and you were trying to keep up. Listen, from an adult, don't try to run after your kids. It don't work that way. All right, listen to the rest of this now. Whew, my God. A prisoner or someone being set free from an act they've carried out. Now listen, it's the decision. This is for you and everyone else. Listen to this now. It's all in the Greek language. Do not hold something against someone. That's a commandment. Don't do it. Who else is struggling from something years ago? Put your hand up. What are you going to do with it? Release them right now. Say that right now. I'm going to release this person from the prison they're in because of my unforgiveness. Come on. See, the Holy Ghost right now is moving amongst this congregation. He's got healing in his wings. If you nurse unforgiveness, it will take you out. Disease and sickness can come on your body. Let go of it. Let go of it. That's why the Bible says very plainly in Colossians or Hebrews that God has no consciousness anymore of our sins. Gone. Gone. One of the chapter titles in this book, Paid in Full, it's what has Jesus been doing for the last 2,000 years? He's interceding for us. He's interceding for us. He sits at the right hand. The right hand is a place of power. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his Father, looks at him and he sees the blood. He sees the blood. When he looks at his Son, he sees the blood. He sees the blood. He sees the blood. And the blood is still working today. It's still working today. How many of you like pickles? You can buy a jar of pickles and put them on your table. Boy, they look good. But until you open up that jar, it does you no good. When you and I will forgive and open up that to the Holy Ghost, unforgiveness will put disease and sickness on your body. It will, but it can't anymore. Okay? Did I miss anybody with that? I'll tell if you really forgave, because when you go out the door, I have a camera, and if your head's down, I'll know that was you. Listen to the rest of this now. But rather to liberate a person from the consequences of his action, Jesus cried, Father, forgive them. Father, release them. Father, don't hold this against them. Forgiveness will set people free by the millions and millions and millions. When Jesus said what he said from the cross of Calvary, he was letting us know that he died for you and I. He forgave you and I, and he forgives anyone that's in our life that's hurt us. you're going to release them and let them go. Amen. Now we're going to do something corporately, fair enough, before we leave. Say this out loud. I forgive them. I will never hold anything against that person or persons in my life. The next time I see them, I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? I love you with the love of Jesus. No longer will you have to go to family functions. I knew it would get quiet in that one. Thanksgiving, Christmas, another birthday. You no longer will drive around the block waiting for that person to leave the party before you go in. Big person you are. How many of you ever done that? Oh, yeah, I hit a nerve. Forgive them, let it go. Forgive them and let it go. Forgive them. Say that loud, forgive them. I'm in the forgiveness party. Years ago, Anthony's grown up now, got a study for doctor. I was holding him up like this, and hey, Anthony, and he threw up all over me. Now, what am I going to do with a little kid? Not forgive them? I ran upstairs with all my clothes on and went in the shower. And I forgave him as soon as he did that. Amen? Say releasing people the same way Christ has released us. All right? Let me just give you a scripture verse. Fair enough, we'll pick up next week. Go over it real quick to Philippians 2:8. We'll end here. Take a couple minutes. And I'll go over all these words with you next week. Philippians 2:8. Say, okay. You going to pray for everybody again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to read that first?
It's up to you.
You can read yours first.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Next week, I'm going to share with you what's the word fashion, humbled, obedient, and you'll be surprised at what they say. He put on the clothes of a beggar. The king put on the clothes of a beggar to come and rescue you and I. Powerful. You're on.
A few years ago, we shared a message with the young people about forgiveness, and it just came up in my spirit. Mm. Something we must grab hold of for forgiveness to work in our lives. How many of you in here, and I want you to raise your hands, have a past you'd rather not remember? How many of you have done some things, keep your hands up, have done some things even to the point where maybe the law was involved? How many of you have done things to people you wish you didn't do? Jesus said in his word in Matthew 6:16, it says, for if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them and letting them go and giving them up, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yes. Yes.
But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go and giving them up, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Mm-hmm. See, we want that forgiveness. We know it was promised to us. Yep. We have no problem saying, Lord, forgive me, I messed up. That's why I had to put your hands up. But yeah, when someone does something to us, it's not the same level of forgiveness sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important, if you're holding on to that, you have the Lord's hands tied, and he's looking at it and saying, it's not a thing I can do for you. It's what the word says. I'm not saying that. So when it comes to releasing somebody and forgiving them, it's not about being, you know, you have to be best friends with somebody. If there's an issue, you forgive them.
Yep.
You love them, you move on. It doesn't mean if they need help down the road or something, you don't treat them any less. But it doesn't mean you become best friends with them if you haven't been released by the Lord to do that again.
Yeah.
Or spend extra time with them. That's why friendship is not a fruit of the Spirit. But you love, you forgive, you go to them, you help them.
Yes.
But what we hold on to when we don't want to be friends with them is that unforgiveness. And yet we come to the Lord and the Lord says, we want to say, God, I'm so sorry, forgive me. And that you have somebody down the road that you can't even look at. And we laugh about leaving the party, not going until the car leaves. How many times we walk down the aisle of the grocery store and go, oh, nope. Come on, don't lie. It's something the Lord convicted in me. I run up to people now. I'm going right at them. I zero in on them, and they're looking like, oh, no, here he comes.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave that place and have the Lord say, how could you let that person go? You don't know what's going to happen in their lives. And so exactly. I encourage you by the word of God, when pastor's talking about forgiveness, think about yourself and the forgiveness that you want, you needed, you have because of the Heavenly Father.
Yes.
That we go and we forgive and we love. You know, and God can restore friendships and God can restore those things. But I'm saying, make sure the Lord's telling you that. Because even though you forgive someone, they might not be willing to change the ways that they did to hurt you, and you go right down the same path again.
True.
And so you got to just say, Holy Spirit, what am I to do? But the first thing is forgiveness. Now, I would say to myself, if that person was broken down on the side of the road, and I'm like, I'm just going to pass by, somebody else will do it, then you didn't forgive.
No.
Then there's not forgiveness there. Sure, somebody else could do it, but the Lord wants you to do it. Wants you to release it. So I encourage you to remember, that's why I had you raise your hands. Who had their hands up? Put them up again. How much has the Lord forgiven you for?
Yep.
That you have to, in return, forgive those that despitefully use you. It's one of the hardest things in the Bible to do. See, God will take care of those people.
Yeah.
The Lord does not allow the righteous, God's property, mm-hmm. things of God, to be messed with. He gives people a chance to change. Yep. And gives people a chance to repent, but then there's a time of reckoning. The Bible says God will not be mocked. Amen?
Give a salvation call to the camera and in here. Go ahead.
So everybody just bow your heads as I talk to the television audience. We have no idea when this is going to go out, but when it goes out, it'll do its job as many times as it needs to be replayed. But if you've ever felt like you've tried it all, you've fallen short, you've tried drugs, you've tried alcohol, relationships, money, status, other types of religions, it always leaves you with a hole. The Bible says that every man has a yearning and a desire for eternity that's inside of him that the Lord has given each person. And the only thing that can fill that hole is salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me.
Yes.
So if you've never asked Christ to come in your heart, you can do it right now. You can pray and say, mm-hmm. God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. I want to be part of your family. I want to become a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. Reach out to us. Soldoutforjesus.com. If you're in the area, stop by. Call. Send an email. If you're not in the area and you see this at another time, call the church. We'll find a church that's close by for you to get in fellowship with. But it's an important, it's the most important decision you'll ever make.